Monster Man, Episode 252, Squealer and Squirrel. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the S chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. But before we do that, I want to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's patron, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I talk about the Deities and Demigods supplement and the role of religion and mythology in fantasy RPGs. So thank you very much to Sasha Davis. Sasha, I really appreciate your support for the show. It means a lot to me. Thank you. All right, our first monster for today is the Squealer. Now, over the years, I feel like, and it really has been years, which is a strange thought, but over the years, I feel like I've developed some instincts with regard to monsters that appear in the monster manuals, and mine turned out to be wrong in the case of the Squealer. When you run into a really weird creature like this one, my impulse is often to think that it comes from a module. It's particularly true when you come across something that feels like it would work in one a very specific context. You sort of think to yourself, this is a creature that has been designed for a particular encounter. But that is not the case with the Squealer, which is making its first appearance here. So the Squealer is kind of like a wolf ape sort of creature. It has a very unusual feature that I mentioned in the special episode, which is that it has bilateral symmetry on the bottom part of its body. So it has, you know, two legs and hips, a bit like a person or an ape. And then its upper body has three radially symmetrical arms. Now, this sort of makes sense if you imagine the Squealer is, as is described, a tree-dwelling creature. So, you know, you can imagine that it would, like, hang from the branch of a tree with one arm and then try to grab you with the other ones, right? It brachiates. And so I guess that's a build that, you know, makes sense for brachiation, but it's very odd to see something that has more than one kind of symmetry. As I said, the Squealer is an arboreal predator that conceals itself among the branches, and it's got very detailed rules for how its multi-limbed attacks work. And, you know, the Squealer is cool looking, and it's not mechanically uninteresting, but it doesn't seem to have caught on, presumably because it doesn't really have much in the way of encounter potential beyond, like, it jumps out of the branches and attacks you. So it's kind of a hazard monster that's going to occur during an overland journey, or maybe you can imagine that, you know, although they're primarily arboreal, they've, like, nested in the ruins of somewhere. But it doesn't have an agenda, it just wants food, and you're made of food, and I guess that's pretty much it. That's fine and all, but beyond a certain level, I think we have to start seeing the role that a monster plays in regard to scenario design kind of changes based on the pool of available monsters. So if there are a small number of monsters available for a particular type of encounter, so let's say there was only one arboreal predator in the whole game, then you would be constantly coming up with new things to supplement that one monster so that your players weren't frustrated with constantly being attacked by, you know, jaguars, arboreal big cats. Eventually, what happens is that a particular type of monster proliferates to the point where monsters are now in competition for the slot, right? There are so many arboreal predator monsters that you're not going to ever use all of them, and that means that they have to offer something in addition to just being a creature that lives in trees and grabs unhappy explorers as they pass beneath it. And the Squealer doesn't really offer that. It has kind of a cool description, and the illustration is nice. But beyond that, there isn't really anything that makes it stand out compared to some of your other options. And that means that it's probably likely to get left, you know, in the book and not turn up at the table as much because given the limited number of environments in which it can possibly appear, and given the limited number of encounters likely to take place in those kinds of environments, is essentially in competition with some monsters that do what it does, but sort of also have something else about them. So I like the Squealer okay, but given that I'm probably not going to have too many, like, tree attack encounters, the chances are that I would tend to go with, you know, the carnivorous ape. Because I like a carnivorous ape. So it feels a little bit like one of those monsters that we've seen that is there to kind of embellish on a role where players may have become jaded, but it's hard to see that players would have become jaded, you know, oh, another brachiating predator that drops down from the branches to attack us. Ugh. This is a hard situation to imagine, you know? You can understand why there's such a proliferation of slimes and oozes or goblin-like creatures, but it's hard to see why a proliferation of these kinds of things would be necessary, which is a shame because, as I said, I think the Squealer is fun and a pretty good example of, you know, some mechanical features that add a little kind of minigame element to it. Next up, we have the Squirrel. Now, I don't necessarily feel that the regular Squirrel really merited having stats in this book, but it's clear that we're seeing like a drive for completeness that's led to the inclusion of all kinds of animals that I would say mechanically we'd normally assume are below the level of abstraction. Squirrels are lovely. Everyone likes squirrels. I enjoy watching the squirrels as they, you know, frolic in the, like, there's kind of like a green space out in front of my house, and I like watching them scamper around and clamber on the fence and do squirrely things. That's great. Everybody likes squirrels. It's a masterpiece of PR, really. Squirrels, by looking adorable, have gained a place in our hearts that, you know, most other rodents don't necessarily occupy, but I don't know that there's much to say about squirrels. I've mentioned before the contrast between getting eaten by wolves and getting eaten by dogs. Getting eaten by rats is also gruesome and horrible, but getting eaten by squirrels is just ridiculous. I used to play Mordheim, the miniatures game from Games Workshop, like a skirmish game set in the old Warhammer universe, and I played it with some friends from work, some of whom are backers of this show. Anyway, I played the kind of like hillbilly group within that game, and they have the ability to, you know, their shaman can do a plague of squirrels, where a bunch of squirrels, like, clamber all over you and, you know, get inside your armor and distract you, and it's really annoying. That happened to Dr. Doom once, in fact, at the hands of Squirrel Girl. You know, I only recently realized that that's meant to rhyme, that it's meant to be Squirrel Girl. Anyway, guess what? I'm rambling because I don't have anything to say about squirrels. They're fine. Now, slightly more interesting is the Squirrel, Giant Black. And the Squirrel, Giant Black is a larger, more, like, intelligent squirrel, and it does squirrely stuff to you, which I guess is fun. So it comes into your camp while you're sleeping, and it takes your small, easily thievable items, your gold pieces and your blue jewels and your, I don't know, periapts, and it takes them back to its nest. You know, it takes them back to whatever, like, hole in a tree that it lives in. And then you have to go chasing through the woods looking for this giant black squirrel that's stolen all of your, whatever, universal solvents, and, you know, put them in its nest to eat. I don't know why it takes them, but I just kind of like shiny things. So sort of a magpie kind of thing. So that's kind of fun. You could make that into a little, you know, a little fun side thing. It's a good way to puncture the dramatic pretensions of particularly powerful or wealthy characters. Like, you thought you were a big shot, Mr. Paladin, and here you are running through the woods yelling at a squirrel to slow down. I can sort of see that. I guess if you're going to have, you know, druids and rangers that have lots of woodland friends, it's nice to have a little more variety and to have some stats for those woodland friends. So, squirrels are alright. Again, I don't necessarily feel like we needed the stats for the regular squirrel, but they don't take up much space and, you know, whatever. So I apologize for rambling about squirrels. It's just that they're squirrels. I don't necessarily feel like there's a lot to say about them. The Squirrel, Giant Black is a fun nuisance monster. You know that I have a very low tolerance for nuisance monsters, but that's probably about the level that I would accept, right? Because the Squirrel, Giant Black isn't malicious. It isn't even really mischievous. It's just kind of doing what it does. If what it did were slightly better explained, I think I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Anyway, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. As hard as it is to believe, in our next episode, we are, yes, once again, going to be continuing our journey through the S chapter of Monster Manual 2. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.